My Bible is
the Word of God.
And God's Word
is a revelation
of His will
for my life.
Whatever it says I am,
that's what I am.
Whatever it says I can do,
I can do it.
Whatever it says I have,
I claim it
in Jesus' name.
Father God, we thank you for the opportunity we have to hear your word, to teach your word, and to preach your word.
Father God, I ask that you would just impart revelation and insight into your people today.
Father God, I ask that you would just bless
and that the word of God will bring the blessing that is needed in the lives of each individual.
Lord, we give you all praise, glory, and honor in Jesus' precious name.
Amen.
Glory to God. You may be seated.
Turn with me to our foundation text, which is Psalm 46, verse 1 and 2. Psalm 46. You found my Bible? Good man. Good man. I tell you, God's going to bless you. Thank you, son. Here you go. Thank you, Tommy. But I found the scripture for you. Now I got to find it for me. Psalm 46, verses 1 and 2. It says, God is our refuge and strength.
Say, God is my refuge.
God is my refuge.
And my strength.
And my strength.
Say, a very present help.
Very present help.
In trouble.
In trouble.
Say, he's not a past help.
He's not a past help.
He's not a future help.
He's not a future help.
He's a present help.
He's a present help.
He's not just a present help.
He's not just a present help.
But he's a very present help.
He's a very present help.
See, very puts the emphasis on what he is. God is trying to get across to you something. It's not a casual thing for him to be a help to you. He says, I am a very present help in time of trouble. God is saying, I am there for you. I am with you. I will be with you. When you walk through the waters, I will be there. Glory to God. God is a very present help in time of trouble. What we have to understand is that there's a contrast between help and trouble. Too often, the church has taught that God is the trouble. He is the one bringing the trouble. He is the one bringing your problems. He is the one causing all my problems, either for some test or some mysterious good that I may not know anything about until I get to the sweet by and by. But see, if I believe that God is the problem, or he's causing me the problem, he's bringing me the problem, then it's difficult for me to ask him for help when I think he's the one causing me the problem. Praise God. God is either the helper or the troublemaker, but he can't be both. What good would it do for my family to ask me for help if I'm the one causing them the problems and the issues they're having in their life in the first place? If I'm slapping my wife and abusing her and knocking her around, isn't it stupid for her to say, Troy, help me to stop being abused if I'm the one that's abusing her? Would that make sense for her to ask me for help? Of course not. So if I think, and I'm the one causing her the trouble, then I'm not her help in the time of trouble. Praise God. So, therefore, if God is the one causing you the trouble, then this scripture is untrue. How many of y'all believe that the word of God is true? Raise your hand. The rest of you are heretics. Get out. No. No. Thank God all of you raised your hands. I would have had to wonder if anybody who didn't. The Bible says that Jesus was praying. He said, sanctify them through thy word. Thy word is true. So the word of God is true. So therefore, if anybody says anything about God that is contradicts his word, then I will have to reject what they say about it, on what they say about God, and I will have to receive what God says about himself. You need to come to understand the character of your God if you're going to have faith in your God. Trust is not saying, well, I wonder what's going to happen. Whatever's going to happen, God may mean some good for me. No, trust is knowing exactly what the Word of God says and believing that you will receive the results of what God has promised. Praise God. The word troubles, as we've told you in this passage, means, yeah, I got it up on the somewhere on the board. We said that the word troubles in this passage comes from the Hebrew word tsar. Strong's dictionary gives the following definition: tightness, that is figuratively trouble. Transitively, a female rival. See, you females, boy, y'all cause us some problems. All right. But it also gives the word adversary. Say adversary.
Adversary.
Adversary, adversity, affliction, anguish, distress, tribulation, trouble. So, if this word means adversary or rival, as the Strong's Dictionary tells us it means, then that means that trouble is not your friend. Trouble did not come to make you strong. Trouble did not come to make you better or to build you up. Trouble is your adversary. It is your enemy. It has not come to help you. Praise God.
Amen.
God, the Bible says here in Psalm 46 that God, not the trouble, is your strength. There's nothing in the Bible that says troubles come to make me strong. Nothing. Everywhere in the Bible, it talks about God either being your strength or giving you strength. Philippians chapter 4 says, I can do all things through Christ who gives me trouble. No? It doesn't say that? How do y'all know? Did y'all look it up this morning? It said, no, we know this scripture. It says, I can do all things through Christ who strengthens me. The Bible says, be strong in the Lord and in the power of his might. Put on the whole armor of God to stand in the evil day. See, the Bible didn't say it was that the evil day is what's going to make you strong. It says be strong in the Lord. Praise God.
Amen.
So where do we get the idea, and I've heard this said so many times by so many people, where do we get the idea that trouble makes us strong? If trouble made us strong, then we should have, this place should be packed out. We should have the most spiritual giants. I shouldn't have to call you every week or every month or whatever. We should have some of the greatest saints in the world. As a matter of fact, the whole world should be saved by now. Jesus should have already come back by now if trouble really makes us strong. Don't you agree?
Yeah.
Some of you may not agree, but I'm teaching you the Word of God today. See, if trouble made us strong, nobody would ever backslide. Because all of us have problems. Praise God. We get saved, problems come our way. We sing that song. Trouble come my way, I got to fight sometime. Trouble come my way. Because trouble does come our way. But see, problems don't make you strong. You get strong by believing God and building yourself up on his word. Praise God.
Amen.
Trials don't make you strong. It's what you do in the midst of the trials that make you strong.
Amen.
See, the Bible says, count it all joy when you fall into divers temptations. It doesn't say that now listen, well, you got to really read the word of God. It doesn't say that the troubles bring you joy. It does not say that.
It says, count it all joy. That means I got to make up my mind that when the trouble comes my way, I've got to have joy in my heart. That's hard to do, ain't it? Maybe some of y'all, it's easy. Some of y'all probably, when the troubles come, you just get there and start, woo, glory to God, I'm having trials. Not Pastor Troy. When they come, I get mad.
Amen.
I have to make it. Yes, you ain't got to affirm everything. When problems come my way, I have to do it. I got to fight every bit of my flesh not to get upset about it. And to actually trust God and say, God, I trust you in the midst of this. Amen. I don't always succeed. But I'm working on it. I'm working on learning to count it all joy when I fall into divers temptations. But the beginning of doing that is to first recognize that God is not my problem. He is my helper. Say, God is not my problem.
God is not my problem.
He's my helper.
He's my helper.
Praise God. So God is the one who helps us. He's the helper, not the troublemaker. Praise God.
Amen.
Amen. Now I want you to understand, we've the past couple of weeks we've been talking about the fact that we need to pray in order to get the help that God wants to give to us. Prayer is the key to receiving the help that we need from God. See, many times we run into trials, we run into problems, and then because we think that God is the one bringing the problems, we won't run to Him and pray to Him for help. And then we get mad at God for not helping us in the trouble that He's thrown at us. Well, see, if you think God is a troublemaker, you're not going to go to Him for help. But the Bible teaches us that the way to receive help from God is through prayer. Praise God. It tells us to go through the throne of grace boldly, that we may obtain help in our time of need.
Amen.
Romans chapter 8. Verse 28, as we looked at it, as some scholars tell us in the original Greek, it talks about the fact that we need to go to God in prayer, and that through the Spirit of God, He will give us the aid or the help that we need. Praise God. And we looked at some other examples. We looked at the King Asa. We looked at how God helped him when he was running into some serious issues, into some serious problems. Well, I was teaching some of this on the radio yesterday, and Pastor Soares, who's one of the pastors that goes with me up to the radio, she laid out the format. She was going to read the introduction. She likes to let me do all the preaching, which I don't mind at all. But she, what she does, she reads the scripture, has her mom sing, and maybe we do a prayer, and then I get to bring forth the word of God. And she read the scripture, Psalm 91, and she and I like it. It seems like she and I always connect every time we're on that radio. She always seems to read the scripture that fits with with the message I'm about to give. And the thing is, she and I don't talk. We don't talk about what each one of us is going to do. And she read Psalm 91, and I saw exactly how that fit with the message. And I told her yesterday, I said, I'm going to be using Psalm 91 tomorrow in my message. And of course, she told me, Troy, you a mess. But anyway, Psalm 91 says, I will say of the Lord, Psalm 91 verse 2, says, I will say of the Lord, He is my refuge. Say, He's my refuge.
He is my refuge.
See, look at Psalm 46 again. You look at both of them together. That's why I put them up on the board so you can bring comparison. It says, God is our refuge. Say, He's my refuge. See, Psalm 91 verse 2 is also giving you some instruction. It's teaching you about positive confession. Say positive confession. Yes, I know that's heresy, you know, according to some people. You know, them folks that preach all that name it, claim it, positive confession stuff. Well, positive confession is a teaching that is in the Bible. I am to speak my faith. See, your heart, what you believe determines what you're going to speak. Out of the abundance of the heart, the mouth speaks. Praise God.
Amen.
And the Bible teaches us that we are to speak what the Word of God says.
Amen.
And right here in Psalm 91, verse 2, the psalmist tells us that we need to make a confession about who God is to us. He says, I will say of the Lord, He is my refuge and my fortress, my God, in Him will I trust. Nowhere in the Bible does it ever say, I will say of the Lord, He is the one who brings me to problems. In Him I will trust anyhow. No! I hope you're getting this. It says that God, I will say of the trust is based on who God is to you. In Him will I trust. Him who? The one who is my refuge and my fortress. Remember that song we were singing earlier? Praise the name of Jesus. He's my rock. He's my fortress. He's my deliverer. In Him will I trust. Praise the name of Jesus. That song is scripture. When I'm going through trouble, I need to stop looking at God as the one bringing me the problem and look at Him as the one who is my refuge. Say, God is my refuge. Glory to God. A refuge, by simple definition, is a shelter or protection from danger or distress. God is your shelter. He is your protector. He is your hiding place. Praise God. So you can't look at God as the one who brings you problems and still look at Him as your refuge. You can't say, God is the one who brought me these problems, but He's my refuge. No. How can He be your refuge if He's the one who's causing you the issues in the first place? God is my refuge and strength, a very present help in trouble. Praise God. When I begin to recognize the character of my God, begin to recognize who He is to me, what He's become to me, I will begin to confess that, and I will go to Him, and I will pray. So Psalm 91 goes even further. One of these days, I'm going to preach on that whole psalm. I preached on it a long time ago. But it says, when you go down to verse 14, it says, because He has set His love upon me, therefore will I deliver Him. He's my rock. He's my fortress. He's my deliverer. Glory to God. Because He has set His love upon Him. So you got to set your love upon Him. You can't be hating Him. You can't be playing hate. I will set Him on high because He has known my name. Praise the name of Jesus. Know the name of Jesus. Verse 91, verse 15, it says, He shall call upon me, and I will answer him. Praise God. I will be with him in trouble. I will deliver him. Look at that. God says He will be with you. If you call on Him, He will answer you. He will be with you in trouble. He will. Say He will.
He will.
He will deliver you. And He will, not only that, He's going to honor you. You know, we listened to Mary's testimony earlier. God delivered her and honored her. Praise God.
Amen.
We listened to Elisa's testimony earlier. God delivered her. Praise God.
Hallelujah.
Glory to God. God not only delivers you, but He honors you. He will vindicate you. People trying to put you down, Don't sweat it. God will vindicate you. Happened to me many times.
Amen.
People thought the wrong thing about me. God always vindicates me.
Amen.
Glory to God. God will honor you. It doesn't matter what the trouble is. Trouble may come your way. You may have to fight sometime. But Jesus, He will fix it. Glory to God.
Amen.
But I want you to understand that word trouble in this passage, the exact same word as you find in Psalm 46:1, which is adversity, adversary, rival. Jesus is saying, I will be with you when you're going through adversity. Jesus said, I will be with you when the adversary is attacking you. 1 Peter chapter 5 says that the devil goes about as a roaring lion seeking our your adversary, the devil, goes about as a roaring lion seeking whom he may devour. Who's your adversary?
The devil.
Who's your adversary?
The devil.
So if the devil is your adversary, and the Bible says that troubles are your adversary, then who bring you the troubles?
The devil.
So it can't be God, can it? So why do we keep blaming God for the problems? All of us. Why do we keep doing that? It's the devil. The devil's bringing a problem. He's your adversary. God says, I'm going to be with you when the adversary is attacking you. Not only will I be with you, I will deliver you and I will honor you. Praise God. Glory to God. Because you know his name. You set your love upon him. You love the Lord and you won't take it back. Let's look at 2 Chronicles chapter 20. Now that we've shown you a couple of precepts, we want to give you some examples. See, that's what I love about the Word of God. That's what I love about the Old Testament. God not only tells you what to do and how to do it, but he gives you examples showing you that what you can do, what he taught you to do, and how he taught you to do it will work. Praise God. Have you found 2 Chronicles chapter 20 yet? All right, wait for me to get there. We'll start with verse 4. 2 Chronicles chapter 20 is another chapter I would just love to do a whole exposition on one day. But not today. For the sake of time, we'll only deal with a couple of passages. But just to give you some quick background, this passage is about one of the few good kings in Israel. I don't know how many of y'all have read the book of 1st, 2nd Kings and 1st and 2nd Chronicles. But Israel, they really did not have a whole lot of good kings. Outside of David, Solomon, who backslid later, Jehoshaphat, Hezekiah, and Asa, outside of them, they had some pretty bad kings. So Jehoshaphat, thankfully, was one of the good ones. And Jehoshaphat was in trouble. Say Jehoshaphat was in trouble. Yeah, he sure was in trouble because he had two kingdoms coming against him. He had the Moabites and the Ammonites. They was going to tear his behind up. Do you hear me? They was going to kick his butt. So I got to talk in y'all lingo and get your attention. But they were about to kick his behind. Okay? You go to now. He was in trouble. Now you go to verse 4. he had some issues. Homeboy had some problems. You hear me? But you go to verse 4, and I want you to see what he did in the midst of his problems. It says, "And Judah gathered themselves together to ask help of the Lord." Say that with me. Say, ask help of the Lord.
Ask help of the Lord.
Glory to God. They came together to ask help of the Lord. Even out of all the cities of Judah, they came to seek the Lord. Say, seek the Lord.
Seek the Lord.
See, the Bible tells us that without faith, it is impossible to please him. For we must believe that he is, and that he is the rewarder of them that diligently seek him.
Amen.
So we need to seek God in the midst of problems. We need to stop looking at him as the problem maker, the problem sender, and look at him as the one we are to go to for help. Praise God.
Amen.
Now, the city of Judah, nor did Jehoshaphat sit there and say, well, try to contemplate, is this problem coming from God or is it coming from the enemy? Which one is it? No. They didn't even bother with that logic. They simply found out that they had a problem. They was about to get their behinds waxed. And so they said, we need to get some help. Say, help me, Lord.
Help me, Lord.
All right. So they went to ask God for help. They went to seek God. And then we read on down. And Jehoshaphat stood in the congregation of Judah and Jerusalem in the house of the Lord before the new court and said, O Lord God of our fathers, art not thou God in heaven? And rulest not thou over all the kingdoms of the heathen? And in thine hand is there not power and might, so that none is able to withstand thee? I want you to see here. Jehoshaphat began to exalt the power and might and the ability of God. Praise God. You know what we do too often? We forget about how great God is, and we begin to magnify the problems that are in our lives. See, we read earlier in Psalm 91, I will say of the Lord, He is my refuge and my fortress. My God, in Him will I trust. See, we need to line our mouths up and begin to talk about who God is to us, how great He is, what He can do for us. What we do often is talk about the problem and magnify the problem and make the problem bigger than our God. Well, you know, I'm going through this and this and this and this and this. God hardly ever gets a mention. And we need to stop putting magnifying glasses in front of the problem and making the problem bigger than it really is and begin to magnify and exalt our God. Praise God.
Amen.
Hallelujah. Boy, I could preach on this whole chapter, but I won't. It says, art not thou our God who didst drive out the inhabitants of this land before thy people Israel and gavest it to the seed of Abraham thy friend forever? You know what he began to do? He began to recite the history of God. He began to go back into the scriptures and remember, wait a minute, God did this for our forefathers back then. Why wouldn't he not do it for us now? Praise God. God, if you begin to rehearse in your mind what God has done in the past, what he has done for you, what you remember he has done in the Bible times, and you begin to rehearse that in your mind, then your faith will be built up and strengthened. And go on to verse 8, it says, and they dwell therein and have built thee a sanctuary therein for thy name, saying, if when evil cometh upon us, as the sword, judgment, or pestilence, or famine, we stand before this house and in thy presence, for thy name is in this house. Say thy name.
Thy name.
The name of the Lord is what?
In this house.
What does the Psalm 91 say? The name of the Lord is a
strong
tower. Oh, that's not Psalm 91. I'm sorry, but we know that's actually Proverbs 18. But the song we were singing earlier is the name of the Lord is a strong tower. But we also saw in Psalm 91, because He hath known my name. Praise God.
Amen.
So Jehoshaphat began to exalt the name of the Lord. We need to exalt the name of Jesus. When problems come our way, we need to start singing, in the name of Jesus, I have the victory. In the name of Jesus, Satan has to flee. Praise God. In verse 9, going further down, for thy name is in this house. And he goes on to say, and you said, cry unto thee in our affliction, then thou wilt hear and help. Say, God will hear.
God will hear.
And he will help.
And he will help.
Say, in my affliction.
In my affliction.
God will hear.
God will hear.
And he will help.
And he will help.
If I cry out to him.
Cry out to
him. See, that it's conditional. I have to cry out to him if I want to get his help. That's what this passage is saying. It says, and I cry unto thee in our affliction, then thou wilt hear and help. You know what that word, you know what that Hebrew word for that word affliction is? Can anybody take a guess? I'll tell you. It's the same Hebrew word that we learned earlier. Sorry, I think Mary got it. Mary, you get the prize. You get absolutely nothing. But you won. It's the same exact Hebrew word, which means tightness, rival, adversary. Say adversary.
Adversary.
Say affliction.
Affliction.
It's my adversary.
It's my adversary.
See, Jehoshaphat said, when my adversary comes, if I cry out to you when my adversary comes, you will hear and you will help me. How many of y'all need God's help?
Amen.
I know I do. So we need to learn to cry out to God. See, yeah, I got to look at my notes because the Bible, praise God. But I want you to notice that there's a need for divine cooperation with God. We learned that, we talked about that last week, that we need to cooperate with Him. God will work with us as long as we are willing to work with Him. Amen?
Amen.
See, that's what faith is all about. Faith is yielding to God, obeying God, and cooperating with God. Quite often, God is hindered and limited from doing things that He would like to do for us because we fail to trust Him and cry out to Him. We just quoted Hebrews 11 and 6. It won't hurt for me to quote it again. It says that without faith, it is impossible. Say impossible.
Impossible.
It is impossible to please God. For you must believe that He is, and that He is a rewarder. Say rewarder.
Rewarder.
He is a rewarder of those who diligently seek Him. See, He can't be your rewarder if you don't seek Him. Praise God.
Amen.
He can't be pleased by you if you don't believe Him. Praise God.
Amen.
You can't please God, and you can't be rewarded by God if you don't cooperate with God. Jehoshaphat cooperated with God. He prayed. He got instruction. And if you read it, I would encourage you to read 2 Chronicles 20. Read the whole chapter. It is good. You can derive wonderful lessons from this chapter. He cooperated with God. God gave some instruction, and he won the victory in this situation. And all of it parallels to our everyday life. When troubles come, when adversity comes, when affliction comes, instead of me getting upset with God and crying out, "Oh God, why are you doing this to me? Why? Why? Why?" Instead of that, I need to cry out to God, "God, I got problems. Help me."
Amen.
You said in your word that you are my refuge. You are my fortress. You said that if I go through the water, you will be there. You said that if the enemy comes in like a flood, you will raise up a standard against him. Father God, I need you to help me right now in the name of Jesus.
Amen.
Amen.
And you know what? He's going to help you.
Amen.
He will help you. But you got to cry out to him. You got to believe him. You got to trust him. You don't trust in the circumstances. You don't trust in the situation. You don't look at the situation and say, I can't handle this. Of course you can't. None of us can. That's why God says he'll be our help. He'll be our very present help in a time of trouble. God doesn't just want to be your help. He wants to be your helper. Praise God.
Amen.
He wants to be the helper. He's the one called alongside to help you. Glory to God. We're going to stop right here. We'll take off. We'll deal with this more next week. We'll talk about Hezekiah and Isaiah and show you how to claim the promises of God. But let me share one more thing with you concerning 2 Chronicles chapter 20. When Jehoshaphat was praying, he was actually quoting the prayer, the God-inspired prayer by Solomon, that Solomon prayed in, I believe it's 2 Chronicles. I'm sorry, I think I got it somewhere here in my notes. Yes, 1 Chronicles chapter 6,
2 Chronicles chapter 6, excuse me, and 1 Kings chapter 8. You can look up those two chapters if you're taking notes. Solomon was praying a prayer that Jehoshaphat was actually quoting from. So Jehoshaphat went to the Word of God, pulled out a promise from God, and began to claim the promise of God's help. God has given numerous promises in the Bible telling you that He will help you, that He is your helper, that He is a very present help, that He will be with you, that He will take care of you, that He will give you the victory, that He has given you the victory, that you already overcome. He's given you all these promises. You've got to learn to go before God and claim them by faith in Jesus' name.
Amen.
So remember that God is your help. Stand to your feet. Now, the next time you're going through some adversity, through a trial, through any situation, you need to stop looking and saying, God, why did you do this to me? You need to just start saying, God, help me in this situation. Fulfill your promises in my life, and God will do it. I want you to bow your heads, close your eyes for just a moment. We're going to take up our offering. But I want to pray over you. I usually ask you if you've learned anything today, but I'm not going to ask you that. I'm going to pray that the Word of God will take root in you to its fullest. And that the Holy Spirit, the next time you're hit with a surprise by the devil, that your first reaction will be to look to God for His help instead of looking to God to blame Him for the situation. Father, I pray for your people in Jesus' name. Lord, some people are already going through problems right now, and they just need to take this word and apply it to their lives. Others are not having any serious situations yet, Lord. And I'm asking that, Lord, when they do, Father, that you will remind them of everything that's been taught to them in the past couple of weeks. Father God, that it will take root in their spirits. Father God, that they will grow. And Father, in the midst of affliction, in the midst of temptation, in the midst of trials, in the midst of adversity, they will count it all joy. Because they know that you are their help. Father, I just ask that this would, that the, by your Holy Spirit, Lord, that you would bring back to their remembrance everything that was taught to them when they're going through these afflictions. Father, we thank you that you are a helper. Father God, I pray for your people that you would begin to help them in every situation they're dealing with right now. And I thank you for everything in Jesus' name. Amen. 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 Be seated for just a moment. We're,